This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me will be TJ Inman. And we're back after a two-week hiatus. I went off and got married. So it's been a really hectic 2 weeks. And then throw on top of that all the IU football news that has come out over that time and the start of spring practice. And it's been a wild 2 weeks that included a road trip to Colorado and back. All right, so before we start our show, we have a word from our new sponsors over at Simply Safe. With home security, there's two ways you could go about protecting your home. There's a traditional way where you wait weeks for a technician to do a messy installation that costs a small fortune, or there's the other way, Simply Safe. Simply Safe is everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection, two-time winner of the CNET Editor's Choice Awards. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in safety. You get comprehensive protection for your entire home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry motion and glass break sensors guard inside. You barely notice it's there, but what's truly remarkable is you could set up this system all by yourself. Anyone can do it. It takes 30 minutes to an hour tops, and there's absolutely no trade-offs to your safety. You'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice 24/7, and it's only 50 cents a day with no contract. It's why The Verge calls Simply Safe the best home security system. Go to simplysafe.com/team today, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. So go now and be sure you go to simplysafe.com/team. That's simplysafe.com/team. All right, we're getting ready to bring TJ Inman in on the show. So to talk a little bit about all the IU news this week and then spring practice. And a lot to fit into a half-hour show. Anyway, let's start with some of the news. Indiana, over the last 2 weeks, has lost strength and conditioning coaches David Blue and Dr. Matt Ray. They bring in Kevin Wellman, who has been with the New York Football Giants for the past 4 seasons. TJ, how has the last 2 weeks been in terms of Indiana football?
Bit of a roller coaster, yeah. Losing Dave Ballou and Dr. Ray, I don't think that we can sugarcoat or kind of overstate how big of a blow that felt at the time that we found that out. We initially found out that Alabama was interested and, sniffing around, if you will. And it's like, well, crap. I mean, if they call, you gotta take that seriously. And when it was announced that Dave Ballou was taking that position, and kind of slowly found out over the next day or two that the rest of the staff was going with him for the most part, that was concerning to say the least, because we know how big of a change we've seen on the field in terms of the success that the program has had and the gains that they've made in that strength and conditioning. And then we've also seen, pretty much to a man, every recruit says, how big of a deal it was to get talked to by Dave Ballou and Dr. Ray, their plans for them. It was just a big asset for the program. So it was a big blow. We found out that Dave Blue was going, and then shortly after that, you know, Samson James announces he's transferring, and it you add in the Peyton Hendershot news and Mark Hagan leaving for Texas. You know, all things that you could easily connect the dots on and say, oh, yeah, that makes sense, that makes sense. But, you know, for a little bit of time, it really felt like, you know, there was just an avalanche of bad news and that the program was, without playing a game, was falling apart. However, over, you know, pretty quickly, Samson James announces, you know, he's going to stay with Indiana. He's coming back. We'll stay with the program. And then, you know, we find out that here that they've got a new strength and conditioning guy coming in that, look, it's impossible for me to sit here and say, oh, great hire, great hire. I don't know anything about strength and conditioning coaches or who's good at it and who's not. All we can do, I think, is look at the resume and the decision makers that have been entrusted to, you know, with these programs, guys from, you know, as low or as early on as Ball State, to San Diego State, to Michigan, to, you know, Notre Dame as an assistant, to the New York Giants. You know, this guy has been entrusted to run their strength and conditioning programs. So to me, all you can do is look at resume and say, well, has he been coveted? Has he continued to get really good jobs? And the answer is yes. And if he didn't know what he was doing, that wouldn't be the case. You add in the fact that he's got ties to the university and that it clearly means something to him to be at Indiana University. And I think just on paper, which is all we can judge it on, this looks like a tremendous get for Tom Allen.
Yeah, and you know, with David Ballou leaving, and then you had Sam James in and out of the transfer portal. Ronnie Walker went to transfer portal too a couple weeks ago. It did look like, you know, the wheels were falling off a little bit, but I think Tom Allen has really earned the benefit of the doubt. We've said it before, TJ, when it comes to hiring people. Kevin Peoples is going to be officially announced here shortly, or he has been officially announced. It's Aaron Wellman will be officially announced shortly. Kevin Peoples is a really good defensive line coach. He was with Tulane, made, you know, Tulane football doesn't really excite any many people, but he had Tulane's defense really playing well. He had some NFL prospects out of those guys. So he has the ability to make the most of what he has. And I think at IU, where you have a mishmash of defensive linemen and have to, you know, make the best of what you have, he's going to do a tremendous job. And I've been with Aaron Wellman. He's been with the Giants for 4 years. On paper, it looks like a really good hire. He has the same, you know, the same injury prevention, not techniques, but injury prevention goal as Ballou and Dr. Ray. And we'll see where it goes. You know, he's an IU guy. He's from Indiana. He graduated from Indiana. He started his coaching career at Indiana. And he left an NFL job to come to Indiana. So clearly he wants to be at Indiana. That's, you know, the more I think about it, the more in my mind is, you know, you want people who want to be at IU. And if they don't want to be at IU, it's not going to help the program, even as a player or as a coach. And I think Tom Allen is doing the best job he can to find people and players who want to be part of the Indiana football program. So good on him. But let's transition from news, TJ, to spring practice, which I was down at yesterday. It was a gorgeous day for football in Bloomington yesterday. I think it was almost 65, maybe 70 degrees yesterday down in Bloomington. sun splash day. Absolutely gorgeous. We talked about the offensive side of the ball. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball. You have Kane Womack is back as defensive coordinator. You have a little bit of a shakeup on staff with Mark Hagan going to Texas, Kevin Peoples coming in with the defensive line. You had William Inge leave as special teams coordinator. They're moving Casey Teagarden to special teams coordinator. He's still coaching the Huskies. And then you bring in Coach Jones to coach the safeties there as well. And a little bit of a reshuffling of the coaching staff on defense. But I'll tell you what, TJ, the defense is you can't really tell how good they look without, pads on and tackling. But after listening to Kane Womack talk yesterday, they're a year older. The bowl practices really, really help. You could see them communicating, being more confident in that defense. We've seen some position changes on defense as well, most notably Brian Fitzgerald and Jamar Johnson, which you'll talk about in a minute here, TJ. But it looks like now that they've got the pieces together, the pieces all around them, they're starting to place them together. So it's good to see, and you've got some young defensive guys in, like Ty Wise and DeMarjay Lewis more than Ty Wise, because the Indiana linebackers, I think, are pretty darn good. But DeMarjay Lewis along the defensive line is going to get a significant amount of playing time along there, and he's in and he's making plays. And one thing that stuck out for me from talking with Coach Womack yesterday was that, he said DeMarjay doesn't know the playbook. It's impossible for him to know the playbook, and really he doesn't know what he's doing, but he's out there making plays, and that's what they're encouraging him to go out there. Just go out and make plays, and we'll figure out the rest. And it's not a hit on DeMarjay Lewis's intelligence or anything like that. The guy should be finishing up his high school, his senior year in high school, and he's out here making plays on defense, and he'll catch up to what that defense is doing on paper. But as long as he's out there making plays, that's what they want to see. So let's go in position changes, TJ. What interests you really about these position changes?
It's impossible for us to know how it's going to work, but at the outset of it, I like all of them. I think that it really opens up some different options for you. One, we discussed this after the season, but, Brian Fitzgerald did not have quite the season that you were hoping for, and I'm sure that he was hoping for. Looked just a little bit out of place at safety, to be honest. I think moving him to Husky makes a ton of sense with the way he's not quite as big as Marcelino Ball, but with the majority of offenses that you face, that's, you're not necessarily looking for kind of the thumper that you have in Marcelino Ball, which Ball, I think, is much closer to a linebacker than he is to a safety, whereas I think Fitzgerald skews a little bit more towards a safety than a linebacker. So I think he gives you a better coverage out of the Husky position. And then Jamar Johnson, I think he showed the ability to make plays on the ball, and putting him at safety, I think it's going to allow for Jamar Johnson to, one, I think it's going to start at safety, and two, I think that it puts him and Fitzgerald, I think, in a position that they can play to their strengths a little bit more. And I think it helps Marcelino Ball as well. He is going to be best, in my opinion, not being asked to defend the pass. I don't think that at this point in his career, I don't think we're going to see him develop into a good pass coverage defender. He gets lost quite a bit, gets beat quite a bit. You're tempted to play him against like an athletic tight end because of his size. It typically doesn't work. And I do think where he can be a big asset is putting him, you know, near the line of scrimmage and maybe in specific pass rush situations or in specific run situations where, you know, you want him to be near the line of scrimmage to contribute in the run defense. So I think it helps those guys. Josh Sanguinetti moving to defensive back. He has the physical makeup of a really good corner. He's got the length that you look for. I think that's a really good fit for him. And then you see Raheem Lane switching from corner. I don't think Raheem was going to play much at corner, so maybe it's an opportunity for him to, you know, surprise some people and have a nice impact at safety as a senior. But I like all of those position switches on paper. We'll see how they play out. I would be very surprised if it does not go positively for both Fitzgerald and Jamar Johnson.
Yeah, and then Josh Sanguinetti as well has moved from safety to corner. Coach Womack was praising his instincts and ability and feel for the game. He's just not big enough to play safety, but he does have the size to play corner in the Big Ten right now, and they need another body.
Yeah,
there
good
well
length.
Behind Reese Taylor, great length, and they want to get his talents on the field as quickly as possible as well. And then, you know, Jamar Johnson was probably, outside of Tywin Mullen, was probably their best defensive back at the end of last year. He had the big interception at Purdue. He had the pick six in the bowl game.
Yep.
And you want his ball skills on the field as well. So it seems to me that now that they have, you know, it's like dumping a puzzle onto a table. You have all the pieces upright. You can see what you have. And now it's time to start separating them and putting them together in the best way possible to change this defense. Linebackers, TJ, Indiana is pretty solid at the linebacker position. They have Micah McFadden and Cam Jones are probably going to be the starters. Thomas Allen's rehabbing an injury. You have, Aaron Casey had a good year on special teams as well. He looks ready to go. You have Cam Williams as well as coming in after redshirt year. There's a lot of talent over at the linebacker position. What are one or two things that stick out at linebacker for you?
Well, I think we know Cam Jones, when healthy, which he was not, unfortunately, for a chunk of last season, and I think it really showed up on Indiana's defense. We know that when he's healthy, he's a playmaker. He's a guy you need to have on the field. So, really excited about what he can do. I think James Miller and Cam Williams are two guys that, athletically provide a major boost to the defense. I'm interested to see, can James Miller put it together and can Cam Williams find himself, playing time, get on the field. I think those two guys are kind of high ceiling players that Indiana doesn't have to have major contributions from. They have depth at that position, but if they can get them, if those guys can step up and become the players that you kind of, reach near their ceiling, and I think it's a huge boost for Indiana's defense. Like I said, a position of good depth, but if those two guys, one of them, can be a hit, if you will, I think that you're looking at another level up for this defense.
Yeah, and you'd like Thomas Allen to come back just for depth purposes. But I would really like them to see move him to defensive end. He has really good straight ahead speed and good instincts and can tackle. It looks like the shoulder injuries, hopefully surgery corrects that and makes that better. But for a team that is so desperate for a pass rush, it would be interesting to see if they move there. Defensive line, let's transition to that a little bit, TJ. It's a spot where you lose Alan Stallings. You lose some other guys as well. But you bring back Jerome Johnson in the middle. CO is back in the middle. You have DeMarjay Lewis coming in as a freshman. And then you have Michael Ziemba and a couple other DNs who could play pretty well. Where do they get this pass rush from? Are they going to be deep enough? And, you know, can they get after the quarterback well enough to take this defense to the next level? And we'll probably not see that this spring just because it's spring practice. And this is more of a question for the fall. But where do they get the pass rush from?
I think it's going to be a chief question heading into the season. I think you're going to have a few that are going to be consistent themes, which, you know, if Peyton Hendershot does not return to the program or faces a lengthy suspension, I think the tight end and who steps up at that position to provide playmaking will be a question. I think the depth at running back could potentially be a question. I do think that the play of David Ellis will prove to be somewhat of a salve for that wound. And then I think that you will have the pass rush be a major recurring one. And I don't know what the answer to that is going to be. I think Indiana would love to add, another defensive lineman like a Jovan Swan to help with that. I do think that DeMarjay Lewis provides a different kind of pass rush because he has the ability to get pressure from the interior of the line. I think that could be a difference maker for Indiana. Just in terms of pure pass rush, though, it's kind of scary because I don't know if they've got that one guy on the roster that you just always have to account for. I want to say that can be James Head, but I think that's taken a pretty big leap of faith to say that.
Yeah, and I thought the defensive line played very well against Tennessee, and you get into that, well, you bottle that up and take that effort and go make plays at the start of next year. But we'll see. Guys got to stay healthy. And, you know, it's still a pretty young position group. You have C.J. Persons missing spring practice, getting back from an injury and things like that. There are guys, you know, you wish you had out there who could get the spring practice reps and improve and all that stuff. And we'll see what Kevin Peoples does, too. What his bag of tricks has, and if he has any new moves for these guys. Coach Hagan was a tremendous defensive line coach and always got great effort from his guys. But maybe Kevin Peoples could find some secret sauce to just a little bit more out of the guys and maybe, you know, flip that switch that some of these guys need to flip in terms of production on the field to take this defense up another notch. And then, before we get going, go ahead.
Real quick on the line, I would say that even if they don't, you know, find that one breakout star to provide a pass rush or find a couple of guys that raise their game another level, I don't want to misconstrue this. I think that this defensive line is going to be pretty good. I think at the very least they're going to be adequate. The question is, can they be difference makers? That's the question.
Yeah. Basically the one or two guys that you have the game plan for, which
right.
IU hasn't had probably since, Jamie Carlew, and guys like that, if you're looking for an absolute game changer along the defensive line. But let's switch to special teams real quickly. New special teams coordinator is Casey Teagarden. He'll be taking over for William Inge, who left to become the defense coordinator over at Fresno State. special teams, TJ, I could have a whole separate podcast on this, but to keep it simple and everything together, special teams is going to be huge this year. It's especially at a school like Indiana, you have to be good on special teams. You can't be average, you can't be bad. It has to be a difference making phase of the game. And you hear coaches after every single press conference or at the beginning of the season, special teams is a third of our, our team. It's a third of the game, and a lot of times it's not, and it's just, you know, they're blowing hot air out of their mouth and things like that. But just if you take the bowl game as a microcosm of the season, and you saw IU, you had a negative 10-yard punt return from WAP. You had a missed extra point and a missed field goal from Logan Justice, who struggled against Purdue. Now you're bringing in Charles Campbell to take over for Justice, and Campbell made a tremendous kick against Purdue, but we'll see what he could do on the full-time gig. Your kick return turner David Ellis showed bursts of what he could do, but Indiana hasn't returned a kickoff or a touchdown since 2012. There's a lot of work to be done, and Hayden Whitehead is as good as they come in punting. And yesterday he was booming punts. He must have had 6 or 7 punts over 50 yards, and not like 51 or 52, but in the high 50s, nearly 60 yards. And they weren't really it's when he wants to boom them, he can boom them. And you know, I'd like to see them get away a little bit from that rugby style kick, just to keep people off balance a little bit. But it's so frustrating to see the special teams that was supposed to be kind of a strength to the team. They made it a priority a couple years ago, but to see it falter and cost them games. And you go through games since Allen had been coach, and you look at the Penn State game there where Saquon Barkley took the opening kickoff back and you fumble a punt and it's 28-0 before anybody blinks. You also look at the win at Virginia where they decidedly won the special teams battle and blew Virginia off the field after a slow start and things like that. And it keeps you in some of these games where you're kind of outmatched on offense and defense, but they got to get it figured out on special teams. And I think it's happening. I think that they're now realizing that, hey, we got to take this seriously, because guess what? It's costing us the matchup games like Maryland in 2017, where IU just dominated every part of the game except for special teams. Blocked punt, stuff like that. Big return. It's going to cost them a matchup game, which in 2017 cost them a bowl game. And it might cost you an upset win here or there as well. So, I think they're finally taking it seriously in terms of, hey, this can impact the game. And now you have some older, your team's a little bit older. They realize, hey, special teams could be a way I can make it to the next level. Or get on the field and make an impact. And it's one of those things where you've got the talent to where you're not playing all walk-ons on special teams. So they shouldn't be mediocre. And special teams, they'll get there. And I like the pieces they have at Whitehead and Campbell, and you've still got Smoller and Schneider back there on kickoffs, Smoller did a better job, but they both did an adequate job there. You have Sean Ratcher, who's a freshman last year at long snapper. I think you have to move Reese Taylor to punt returner, even though WAP was back there last year and he's a dynamic player, but I think Reese Taylor's a little bit more under control in the moment and won't do some of the things that WAP did. And David Ellis, a kick returner, it looked for a week there that he was going to be your backup running back or your third string running back. Well, now that Chauncey James is back, you still got to find ways to get him the ball, and kick return is one of them. So you have a dynamic kick returner. He looked like he could have broken one at least early in the year on there. And then just got to be prepared. The onside kick, they just weren't prepared. It was a guy was out of position. It was not an onside kick. Wasn't an obvious onside kick coming. It was they saw the hole and they kicked it there. It wasn't like, hey, we're going to onside kick it, like, no matter what. It was, you know, when Kevin Wilson was coach, his onside kicks were, it was almost like a read option. Hey, if this guy lines up here, we're going to onside kick it. If they start going back, we're going to onside kick it, stuff like that. And it was simply a guy was out of position. And IU probably should have called timeout, but that didn't happen. And you know, those are the little things that will cost you games. If they kick it deep, IU probably wins. If they still try an onside kick and IU recovers, probably win the bowl game. So it's special teams, and that's my rant on special teams. It's got to get better. There's too much talent on that third of the game to where you're missing big field goals or messing up on kick returns late in games or, you know, having punts blocked or shanking punts or things like that. Indiana should have at least in the Big Ten, a top five special teams unit, at the minimum, a top five. And if they could do that, they'll be fine the rest of the year. They'll win some games they're not supposed to win. They'll win the games, the matchup games that they need to win, and they'll blow out the teams that they need to blow out, because that's what happens when you play well on special teams. You don't give those teams who you're clearly better on offense and defense a chance to hurt you in the return game or get some cheap points and things like that. So I know you've got to run, TJ. Any final thoughts on special teams or spring practice?
No, I think you summed that up. It's got to stop costing Indiana games. They need to turn it into a strength. You're right. The personnel is in place to do that. And it'll be interesting to see what Casey Teagarden is able to get accomplished in that. It's not only going to be on Teagarden. It's going to be on the entire coaching staff and the players to make that an emphasis to make a difference for the positive in games, because the personnel is there to do that for sure.
Yeah, there's too much talent on this team just to be mediocre and not have a game-changing, you know, special teams unit that will make or break your season or take you from 6-6 to 8 or 9 wins or something like that. So, but spring practice, we're back down there tomorrow. They're putting the pads back on, and then spring break's coming back up. But yeah, football's sort of back. And it's the weather's warming up and getting better, and before you know it, it'll be Labor Day weekend, and Indiana will be heading up to Wisconsin for the season opener. TJ, thanks for hopping on with me, talking some football, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
All right, that was TJ Inman joining me as co-host. TJ always does a phenomenal job. I know we're excited that football is kind of back. But for all your Indiana football news, come back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Like our Facebook page. Give us a review on Facebook as well. Also, some podcast news. We are on Spotify. So if you're a Spotify user, just search Hoosier Huddle Podcast and it'll be up there. Thank you for listening. Come back early and often as we will take you through all of spring practice up through the spring game on April 17th at 7 p.m. That's a Friday night at Memorial Stadium. I know there have been some complaints about it being on a Friday night, but remember, Indiana opens the season on a Friday night at Wisconsin, and this is kind of a dress rehearsal preseason game to get all those, you know, pregame routines and kinks out and things like that. So keep coming back, ask any questions you'd like, and we'll be back next week with a spring practice update. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. That was TJ Inman. Have a great Monday evening.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey, and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.